sounds of Canada are legion. They run all the way from the raucous sound of the Calgary Stampede. Come on! The strident notes of the retreat ceremony at Old Fort Henry, a sound more than a century and a half old. This sound was a familiar one to many Canadians. The radio listeners tuned into the music of George Wade's Cornhuskers out of Toronto. The radios were on anyway because the Cornhuskers came on right after this familiar voice.
He shoots, he scores!
And that, of course, was Mr. Foster Hewitt, the date 1931, the scene the brand new Maple Leaf Gardens just opened.
I wish, dear friends, a happy Christmas. I've been deeply touched by the greetings which in the last few minutes have reached me from all parts of the empire.
For most of that decade, one of the most familiar sounds was the grand old voice of the grand old king coming through one short wave early each Christmas morning.
My words will be very simple, but spoken from the heart on this family festival of Christmas. The year that is passing, the 25th since my accession, has been to me most memorable.
That's the Kitsilano Boys Band under Arthur Delamont. Every Vancouverite remembers that music just as every Canadian remembers the brave, halting words of George VI. Here he is on May 17, 1939, arriving in Canada at Quebec City for what was to be a triumphant tour.
Mr. Prime Minister, I am deeply moved by your words of welcome to the Queen and myself on behalf of the Canadian people. I recognize that this moment is historic. It is the first time that a British king has crossed the Atlantic.
Those are the days of the big hotel bands. You heard them late at night on your mantle radio. Here's the band of Luigi Romanelli, playing from the King Edward Hotel in Toronto just before war struck. The flat Canadian tones of Mr. King announcing total war, followed by the familiar spirited words of a friend and colleague speaking to the Canadian Parliament in 1943.
It is war against homes, hospitals, schools, and churches. It is war on men, women, and children. It is war by shot, shell, fire and poison gas. Its aim and purpose are total destruction.
When I warned them that Britain would fight on alone, whatever they did, their generals told their prime minister and his divided cabinet, in 3 weeks, England will have a neck wrung like a chicken. Some chicken. Some neck.
That's Percy Faith conducting the chorus at Toronto's Massey Hall, another Victory Bond rally, and you can hear the crowd cheering as the troops march down the aisle. From London, the voice of Vincent Massey.
Dieppe is now linked for all time with Ypres and Vimy and the Somme. We honor these soldiers who have given our national name new luster. Our hearts go out to those at home who are shadowed by anxiety or whose path is darkened by sorrow.
When the war was over, and recovery sure, a princess came to Canada. And when she'd seen the whole country, this is what she had to say.
Mr. Prime Minister, it gives me great pleasure to stand here in Victoria, the provincial capital of British Columbia, named after my great-great-grandmother. With my arrival here, my first westward journey across Canada has ended. And before turning eastward again, I am able to look back for a moment upon what I have seen. This journey has indeed been a tremendous experience.
Oh, are those fairies at the bottom of our garden? You cannot think how beautiful they are. They all stand up and sing when the fairy king and queen come lightly floating down upon their car. Now the king is very proud and very handsome. And the queen, well, can you guess who that may be? She's a little girl all day, but at night she steals away. Now this will kill you, I hope. Well, it's me. Yes, it's me.
And that, of course, was the incomparable Bee Lilly. She's a Canadian, too, remember? From Toronto. Canadians all speak with different accents. Listen to this typically Saskatchewan sound. Few Canadians of our generation will ever forget it.
I'd be less than human if I did not feel very keenly the loss suffered by this nation and by my party in the defeat of various members who have done so much for their country in the public service. As the leader of the Conservative Party, I would recall that in the past, there have been times of adversity and times of triumph. I have had my share of both, but as I've said before, public life has its ups and downs.
The oldest songs of all are the French-Canadian folk songs. Of 200 choirs in French Canada, this one from Quebec City is the finest. The world-famous Cher Villard Le Bon Vent. Now, let's listen to Wayne and Schuster.
A hit, my kingdom for a hit. Once more, to hear that welcome crack of bat upon the ball, and then to run from first to second, then to third, and then to dig for a home, to slide, slide, slide! Aye, there's the rub.
And that, too, as much as the call of the loon or the ring of the carillon, is one of the authentic sounds of Canada. The eerie call of a loon on a northern lake. Is there a more authentic Canadian sound? Brings back memories, doesn't it, of those long, bright, youthful nights in the wilderness. A long cry from this sound. The whipping dance of a group of Indians in Saskatchewan. Also authentically Canadian, as is this sound. Voice of Madame Emma Albany, one of the world's great opera singers, a Canadian girl from Chambly in Lower Canada, who sang before czars, emperors, and queens. The This 1904 recording is a collector's item, but I'm afraid it makes Madame Albany sound more like the loon.
When I walk that levee round, when I walk that levee round.
1905, in the voice of May Irwin, another Canadian from Whitby, Ontario, the most successful comedian in North America.
I stand down the street with my axe in my hand, just a look at...
The sounds of Canada reach all the way from the concert stage to the Arctic. You're about to hear an Eskimo troubadour telling a folk tale in song. It's 1913, and this is the forgotten voice of Christy MacDonald, the girl from Pictou, Nova Scotia, who became one of the brightest stars in Broadway comic opera. Surely the next voice, familiar to anyone over the age of 40, must also be considered distinctively Canadian.
The world join to celebrate their unity and to draw closer the common ties which hold them together.
Remember, it belongs to George V, and the occasion is Empire Day 1923.
Yet all are members of one family, sharing their sorrows and joys.
Up to your waist in water, up to your eyes in slush, using the kind of...
Red Newman, the member of the famous Dumbbells, the wartime concert party that toured Canada on its return from the trenches. The Canadian sound of the 20s.
Don't we pity the poor civilian sitting beside the fire? Oh, oh, it's a lovely war. Who wouldn't be a soldier, eh? Why, it's a shame to take the pay. As soon as rebellion's gone, we build a...
And now another Canadian voice. Shelton Brooks, a Negro comedian from Amherstburg, Ontario, who wrote the Darktown Strutter's Ball.
Well, the way things appear, there's going to be a tough winter. Now, my tenants have a habit of saying, I'll pay you the next time. But the next time don't seem to reproach. Now, the party I'm called on now seems to be the hardest to get my rent from. They always got some excuse. Now, I'm going to rap on dough and see what they got to say this morning.
Henry, there's somebody at that door. Henry, there's somebody at that door.
Oh, baby, you go answer the door. Daddy's so tired this morning.
It is not easy to sum up in a sentence the outstanding characteristics of the British race. It may be that the character of a nation composed of so many different elements as is ours is impossible to express in any single phrase. Yet there is one attribute which Englishmen, Irishmen, Scots, and Welshmen share in common. That common attribute is the love of sportsmanship.
That was the voice of a Canadian rancher, the Prince of Wales. The year was 1924. Listening to the biggest record maker in the world in his day, another Canadian from Ontario. His name is Harry MacDonald, and he made records for almost 40 years. And here, recorded in 1926, is the voice of another Canadian, the girl from Ingersoll, Ontario, who formed the Four Square Gospel Mission, Amy Semple McPherson.
Come in Genesis. Come in Matthew. Come clear through to the Revelation. The word predominates, rings like bells, sweeps as the tones of a mighty harp, peals like the thunderous notes of a great and a glorious organ. Come. It is the invitation from the loving heart of a loving God to a poor, lost, tired, sin-stricken world.
Come. The music of Oscar Peterson, an evangelist of a different kind, perhaps the greatest jazz pianist in the world. That version of O Canada is played on the famous Carillon in Ottawa. And the year is 1927, the occasion of our 60th birthday. And that's the first time the Carillon was ever used. It's been peeling along ever since.